now at the point of looking at reflectors. All the types, other than reflectors, with the rare exceptions, all experience open centers. And the way in which the open center is described and designed, the way it's described to somebody who has definition, is not the way you can describe it for somebody that's never had definition. And it's not really possible to understand somebody who's never had definition. As I said, I cannot imagine what it's like to be a non-energy type. I simply can't. I mean, there's no place inside of me. You know, I'm a single definition being. There's no place inside of me. I can understand open centers, but only from my perspective that it's the counterpoint to what I have to find. And it's only in that counterpoint that I recognize it for what it is. And it makes me very vulnerable because it is a counterpoint. However, if you come into the world and you don't have any definition, you know, you're very different. And you're very different in the way in which you are conditioned. Very different. Basically, the reason that projectors are the most conditioned beings is that their conditioning is personal. It's personal. Nobody sees them. So it's personal. They see somebody else, and they think that the person is somebody else. But the moment that you're dealing with the reflector, it's impersonal. It's totally impersonal. And of course, they're conditioned to make everything personal. I mean, reflectors are conditioned to make everything personal. So the reflector is put on a track of finding the I when they're only here to find the we. And the we isn't really them. The we is all of that that is around them, and only when they begin to see that if they're in a healthy community, they're healthy. If they're in an unhealthy community, they're unhealthy. They are always going to be the reflection of the environment that they're in. Always. So if they don't know the environment, they're in enormous trouble. And one of the things to recognize consistently about a reflector is all reflectors are born with an undefined self. Obviously, everything's open. But all reflectors are born with an undefined self, which tells you that place, remember, that's the key. Anybody with an open G center, that key is always place, place, place. Place means everything. Where you are means everything. If you're a reflector, where you are means everything. And it's not personal. It's not your house that matters. It's the community your house is in that matters, because the place is impersonal. It is the larger environment that you're a part of, because the reflector is here to reflect the impersonal environment. Now, just like that, you know, Deason is one of the lightest towns that you're ever going to meet in southern Germany. You're not going to meet a friendlier place. I mean, you often don't think you're even in southern Germany. Hey, it's a tourist town. It has many, many outsiders who come here, who live here, who stayed here. There's a lightness in it. So I'm driving down from the house, and I'm driving, and I see Nizard walking down the street. And she's skipping like a little girl, you know, and my reaction to her skipping down the street has nothing to do with her. Not personal. It's not about I'm seeing her doing that. That's the community. That's decent. It's one of the reasons I love this place. It carries that spring. It carries that lightness. There's a certain joy here that's very special that I've met for 10 years that I've known this village. But anybody, including her, who looks at that without that recognition, what they see is something personal. Remember, this is a being without a fixed identity. That's not who she is. That's what this community is. And if she wants to spend the rest of her life skipping, she knows where she can live. And it's all impersonal. It's not like she has to meet anybody here that she knows or likes or cares for or talks to or be. None of that. It is that impersonal environment that she reflects. Think about that. That's the magic of what a reflector is. But of course, when you have a being come into the world and they have nobody else to associate with, they're not manifestors, they're not generators, they're not projectors. They don't need people personally. They need people impersonally. They need the environment. All of that. But that's not the conditioning. Everything about the conditioning is they make it personal. Everything about the conditioning is that they make it personal. Their whole thing is, who am I? Who can I love? Where is my direction? All of the G-center things that come popping out. But the reality is that's not what they're here to be. They're not an I. They're a we. We skip indecent because that's the reality. I meet a reflector on the road wherever I am. I just very discreetly watch them for a few minutes. You know, a reflector, when a reflector is in a classroom of mine, you know, I just watch the reflector by itself for a few moments. I know exactly what's going on. Not in them. I can't see them. They don't exist. But I see everything in them because that's their job. And you see, as long as the reflectors don't know that, they suffer a lot. And they're very lonely beings. And they feel like there is no love for them, and there is no real direction for them, and there isn't all of that. Because they assume it's all personal. And they're always looking for that personal, and it's not. And they're the only beings that come on. There's not a lot of them, eh? They're less than 1% of the population. They're the only beings that come onto this planet to be here without it having to be personal. Yes, they need the other, but it's not the projector's personal grab. You know, the projector needs a person. You know, you, because you define me. You recognize me, you define me. Here I am, now I know what I am. So I need you to keep on defining me, keep on recognizing me, keep on defining me, keep on recognizing me. That's their program. You can't translate that to a reflector. A reflector's program isn't I'm finding my eye. You know, I'm not finding anything that's for me. I'm simply finding what's there. It's like my restaurant joke where the reflectors get the meal of the day. Reflectors had a better love life when they lived in a world where their parents sat down in the village and decided who they would marry. Because it was all correct. They would get exactly what was right for their reflection. You know, because then it was a we and it was totally impersonal. It was just totally impersonal. And the moment that the reflector stepped into the tradition of romantic love, and that's something that's recent after all. It's only several hundred years, and only in the West, you know, that there's been this liberation in which your mate is not decided for you. But, you know, that's been great for manifestors, generators, and projectors. Awful for reflectors. Because the moment it becomes a personal process for them, they're really in trouble. Because it's not. It doesn't mean that they can't have love with another person. But even that is only because they're part of the right environment. Not because they are right. It could be anybody in the environment. Anybody. And basically what happens is, how do I skip? If I'm at this end, if I'm at this end of the fractal in the community, is my skip going to be kind of slow and draggy? You know, if I meet with this person over here, my skip might get elevated to even bouncier. In other words, the reflector senses the whole community, but can end up then tasting the aspects of that. And that's what they do. Now, obviously, that can lead to all kinds of difficulties. But again, they're not like the rest of us. What would be difficult for us, in fact, is not for them the moment it's just impersonal. Now, you know how difficult it is to make such a thing impersonal. You know, this is the great test of what it is to become a reflector. Remember that in the hierarchy of what the reflector represents, they represent justice. Justice. In other words, they're the only ones who can measure the value and quality of any community. They're the ones who truly know the right and wrong because they get the balance of the community. It's like they're the voting box where everybody votes. I mean, they're the box itself. You know, all the votes go into them, and through them you can see the result. You know, so if you meet a reflector in a village and the reflector is a mean, nasty son of a bitch, you know what kind of village you're in. You know, don't blame the reflector. It's not them. They're reflecting their village. And if you pull them out of that village and you put them on vacation in the Mediterranean, and you put them with a totally different laid-back, easy, all of a sudden they're the sweetest people on earth. Can I help you? You know, and then they go back to their village and say, fuck off. And it's not them. And of course, think about their psychology. They go nuts. I mean, when a reflector moves from one place to another, that's cataclysmic for them. Well, it's an enormous change. You know, because they change. And it's not a personal change. It's not like they can say, this part of me is becoming more... They're just stepping in and they become the reflector of whatever is around them. And the more impersonal the environment, reflectors in big cities, the more impersonal they are. The more distant they are, the more aloof they are. You know, put the reflector in the little village and they know everybody's business. Because they are everybody's business. Because everybody's business is reflected through them. Reflectors can only find what is correct for them in love when they meet another reflector. I mean, other than another reflector, it is always going to be an ordeal for them because basically what they have is a sample of what they already have as an impersonal whole. And because they have the whole impersonal whole, the sample is only that, and they know it. Yeah, this is just an aspect of this. You know, and at the same time, they're aware of all the other aspects that are everywhere else. And it's, you know, trying to make that personal with that one, it doesn't work. How do you get their mind involved? You get their mind involved through a basic process. And that basic process is that they have to know human design deeper than any of the other types. We know that the strategy of a reflector is that they have to wait for the cycle of the moon. And that we know, like all non-energy types, that the reflector's decision-making process is about those major things in life. And just as we would talk about the undefined G-center to recognize that for the reflector, the most essential decision of their life is where to be. And there is nothing crueler than childhood for a reflector. There is nothing crueler than childhood for a reflector. Because the chance of them being in the right place, in the right community, you know, and no freedom to be able to transform that or not. If they have a fourth line in their profile, they have a chance. Because with a fourth line in their profile, they may be influential enough, their aura, that their parents actually move. Not because the parents are moving for them. I mean, the parents will think they're moving for whatever their reasons are. However, the energy itself can actually get them to move to a better environment for the child. But it's very difficult for reflectors when they're young. The decision-making process, waiting out the cycle of the moon, what does that really mean? In order for a reflector to understand that, they're going to have to understand the relationship between the wheel, the body graph, and the moon. That's it. But they have to understand that. In other words, they have to learn to see that every lunar cycle, that they go through a fixed program. And that they themselves can see how that fixed program works cyclically. And that everything about them is understanding that as a complete being, that no decision is possible until a lunar cycle after its initiation. I mean, it's not just going to happen. And that even when the opportunity does arise that they can make a decision, you still have to wait out their month that they have to go through. In other words, of all of the types, you know, you're built in with the reflector, you're built in with seeing, look, you got a journey in front of you. You're not going to have this easy energy type confirmation that's possible quickly, but you do have work to do. And the work that you have to do is you have to see how you connect to the community around you. Who are we? Let me show you how that works. When you're looking at a body graph of a reflector, what you're looking at is environmental gates. One of the things to recognize about transits is that when there is a gate activated and there's nothing else in the channel, that this gate is an environmental gate. So you can see that reflectors are pure environmental beings. Everything is the environment. Nothing personal, Everything is the environment around them. And the environment around them is all the connections that will turn each and every one of those gates into a definition. That's the environment. When a reflector goes into any environment, this is what they are able to relate to. In that environment, in other words, justice is not perfect. You know, when I say the reflector reflects the community around them, it isn't to say that they reflect everyone and everything in that community. They don't. What they reflect is what will form definitions in their design. That's what they're going to connect to, and those are the aspects of community that are important to them personally, in that sense. In other words, what they need to connect to. Now, that's what the moon is going to do in 28 days. The moon is going to go around the wheel, and it's going to activate every single one of those environmental gates by providing the harmonic gate to form a definition. So when a reflector is studying the movement of the moon in relationship to themselves, they're learning two things. What they're learning is how they integrate with the larger community. That's the basis of what they get to understand. So for example here, if you take somebody like Uri Geller, and we start up here just in the mental system, here's somebody to know who's going to know the stories in the community. 56th gate. Gate of stimulation, gate of storytelling. Okay? Here's the 23rd gate. They're going to be connected to, you know, that whole process of, you know, people who are explaining things, people who are trying to make things more efficient. This is a channel that has to do with efficiency. In other words, it's an aspect that they're going to be connected to. So if they're in a village and there's no storytellers, something's wrong with the place. You know, if they can't go into the local bar and sit down and hear the local stories, they're in the wrong place. Because that's part of what they're here to connect to. Not to become a storyteller themselves, that's conditioning, but it's to connect to storytellers. It's all impersonal. It's not their story. It's all secondhand. You know, secondhand rose. You know, it's all secondhand. So the thing to recognize is they can. The most important question that any reflector is ever going to get in their life, you know, would you like to live here, or would you like to go there, or whatever the case may be. In other words, a direct opportunity to make a decision about a place. And the moment that that reflector is correct, they take their lunar cycle, they go through their process, and again, that's something we'll talk about in a moment, they go through their process, when they get to the end of their process, and that's a decision that they're going to make, I guarantee you that where they go, they're going to meet every aspect that belongs precisely to them. Everyone. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, again, it's not personal, but they will have every one of those aspects around them. They'll be in the right place. And so what they then reflect is correct. In other words, they're reflecting what they're designed to reflect, and they're in the community that needs them. I'm not going to be the only person on the planet watching reflectors to see the environment. See, because ultimately when we all know this, everybody will. You know, everybody will be saying, oh, did you see Joe today? He's in a terrible mood. What's wrong in the village? I mean, they're the canaries. They're the barometers. They pick it all up. They know. But of course, if they're not in the right village, they're not resonating to the right places, they don't have the right we, their justice isn't correct. I mean, think about it. Their role is magnificent. Yet to get there, like for the projector, for non-energy types, awakening is so difficult. Easy if they're children. Easy, 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 easy. The younger they are, the easier it is. You know, it's always the same for manifestors and generators in that sense. You know, I mean, non-energy types, the older you get and the deeper you are into the conditioning, it's awful to try to get out of that. How awful it is for a reflector after years and years and years and years and years and years of personal conditioning, you know, to try to deal with the fact that it's not personal. None of it's personal. that it will never be personal, that they're not here for that. They're here to be part of a larger whole. That's their job. Their job is to be not so much glue for that larger whole, but a way for the larger whole to see that it is a whole. I mean, you know, that's the thing about the reflector as a microcosm of any of its communities. The whole community gets lived out through that being. And once everybody understands that, there is a biofeedback in that. You know, if the reflector in your community is in a shitty mood, it means that the environment's in a shitty mood. Do everything you can to make the reflector happy. And the moment that the reflector is picking up its energy, the whole village is. It's really something. But to get them there. You know, the only way they're going to get there is that, first of all, they really have to understand why they're here. And the thing is about the decision-making process. When you're dealing with a decision-making process for a reflector, remember that 28 days of the lunar cycle isn't just about time. You know, reflectors have no inner authority. They do not have any place that gives them a decision-making capacity that's reliable. They don't. You know, the only other example of that is mental projectors. Again, you know, no inner authority. So these are beings that have to find their authority through others. And the reality is that for the reflector needs to bounce things off of people during that lunar cycle. So, for example, somebody comes up to the reflector and says, you know, I've got this great opportunity for you in Miami. You know, would you consider that? Now, the whole process for that projector isn't about saying, okay, I'll let you know in 28 days. You know, the timing's right. But it's not about not doing anything for those 28 days and then suddenly there's going to be an answer. It doesn't work that way. The way it works is that throughout that period, and the more detailed the reflector knows its design, the more it's going to be able to take advantage of that, because, of course, it has different configurations as it goes through its cycle, is to get those things out, to hear what they say, undefined throats, to hear what they say, and to get the feedback. Now, the feedback isn't there to determine their direction. You know, the feedback is simply there to add to their process. But think about what that means. It means that the reflector, you know, is sitting with somebody and having a conversation, and they say, by the way, you know, somebody, I have this offer to go to Miami, you know, and I'm really thinking about it. And they'll hear what they have to say about it. Because the reflector will say different things at different times, depending on how it's activated or not, or whose aura they're in or not. And this is where the dilemma comes. If you're a reflector and you're not in the right community, you're not going to be bouncing things off the right people. I mean, it gets to be a real catch-22. You know, that's why it's so difficult for them. And it's one of the only ways that they can really get the truth out of themselves is by hearing themselves put out that same proposition. You know, I don't know whether I should make love to Harry. And as embarrassing as that might be in certain situations to discuss that with somebody, you know, I don't know if I want this guy for my lover. You know, and you can't know, and you got to keep on putting it out and keep on putting it out and keep on putting it out. Everybody in the village knows you're trying to decide whether to go to bed with him or not. You know, this is the whole thing about their process. And of course, everybody, but that's them, because it's not personal. They are all of that. I mean, this is the magic that's there. And of course, slowly but surely, at the end of that 28 days, after putting it out all those times, they really know whether they want to do it or not. And when they make the decision, everybody in the village passes judgment. She went ahead and did it. And it's them. They're all in it. Eh? So, you know, you really have to see this is a very magical being as a potential. But how difficult it is for them to get to that place, because they have to surrender the deep, 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 deep conditioning of the energy type in their life. Deep, deep conditioning that it's all personal, you know, that they have to find what's for them rather than seeing that if they find the right environment, what's for them is there. It's simply there. You know, the environment will provide, but you've got to be in the right place. So the emphasis for them is understand, you know, how you process things. Recognize how you make that decision. Remember that place is everything for you. And if you go through the process of following that strategy, you will end up in the right place. And when you end up in the right place, you're going to feel complete. Because what's going to happen is all the forces you're intended to meet are there. You know, you don't even have to talk to them. They're just there. That's the magic of being a reflector. Because it's impersonal, you don't have to have intimacy with them. You know, you don't have to have anything with them other than they live in the same environment that you do, and they're part of the building block of that environment, and part of what they represent is part of what you're here to have access to so that you can be the filter and the barometer for all of that energy that's there in the community. Now, obviously, we're going to get to a point where every community's got to have its reflector, that every organization has to have its reflector. You know, if you want to find out what the culture is in a business, you're only going to find it from the reflector. Because if you watch how the reflector works in one day in an office, you know the whole story of that business. I mean, the whole story. You know, there are going to be reflectors we'll have for hire that will go into environments, and there will be people who will simply watch them, and they'll know right away what's going on. Now, that's, you know, that's the future. But, of course, the excitement for the reflector is if you don't tell them about that future, they won't have the courage to go there. They won't, because they're so deeply conditioned.